Well, thanks for joining us on the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Matthew, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Westerville campus. And today we're continuing to work our way through the Gospel of John, and we're going to be taking a look at John chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. And let me set the stage for what's going on here in this passage. Jesus has gathered his disciples together for what would be their final meal. This was the last time all 12 disciples would be together with Jesus. And during this meal, Jesus washed their feet. They shared the Passover supper together. But the disciples had no idea what was getting ready to happen in just a matter of hours. And Jesus is trying to prepare them for the fact that he's going to be arrested and that he's going to be crucified. And in John 16, verse 16, it says this, Jesus went on to say, "In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me again." And the disciples were pretty confused by what Jesus was saying. They asked, what does he mean that we're not going to see him? And what does he mean that this is going to happen in a little while? And as Jesus often did, he spoke in a way that was less than perfectly clear. And they didn't like the idea that they weren't going to be able to see him anymore. I mean, they'd been following Jesus for 3 years and they had given up everything to be his disciples. And now he's talking about leaving them. What was this going to mean for them if Jesus left? And in verse 19, it says this, Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." See, Jesus is preparing them for the fact that he is going to die. And he's letting them know that for a moment, it's going to seem like they have lost. That everything they've been working towards is over, that's gone. And their enemies would be rejoicing, they would be happy. But then their grief, then their sadness would turn to joy. And then in verse 22, Jesus says this, "So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy." And although they didn't understand what Jesus was saying in the moment, he was promising them resurrection. That although he would die, although he would leave, he would come back again. And when he returns, no one will be able to take away their joy because he will have secured their victory, victory over sin and victory over death. And then Jesus says this, verse 23 and 24, he says, "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete." And what a promise for us to hold on to, that through Jesus's death and his resurrection, we now have direct access to God the Father. We can approach God boldly and we are able to ask God to do anything in the name of Jesus. Now, this doesn't mean that we bring our wish list to God. It doesn't mean that God's a magic genie that grants us our every wish, but through prayer, we have direct access to the God of the universe. In fact, listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3. Here he's praying for the church in Ephesus, and he wraps up his prayer by saying this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. You see, through prayer, we have access to the riches of God's glory and God's power. And when we begin to recognize, when we begin to realize who we're praying to and who we have access to, it changes the priority that we place on prayer. It changes the content of our prayers, the way that we pray, and we start to pray much bigger and bolder prayers. And listen, it is impossible for us to ask too much from God. because God's giving exceeds our capacity of asking or even imagining. So let's not waste the access that God has given us to himself through prayer, that God has given us through Jesus' death and resurrection. We have direct access to the God of the universe. So let's take a moment right now to go to God in prayer and to ask him to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So Father, we thank you that we no longer have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through a set of rituals and cleansings and washings, God, but we have direct access to you. We can approach your throne of grace boldly. And God, my prayer is that we would begin to pray prayers that are in line with that truth, that we wouldn't settle for small prayers, but we would be reminded that you can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. God, help us to pray in a way that is in alignment with your will for our lives. Help us to pray bold prayers, and by faith, believing, God, that you will answer and that you will work. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.